And I do take it very seriously to open the Word of God. But folks, we got a lot of families that are not with us this morning because of things going on in their life, and I just want to mention them. You know, Brother Ken Lamb had knee surgery. Let's keep praying for Brother Ken. Pray for Miss Debbie also. She's got some health issues. And John Emery had knee surgery. He has some complications. They got word today that Brother John Emery's on his way back to the emergency room, so let's pray for him. Miss Tamry was in there with him and fell in the hospital, broke her hip at the femur bone, and she had to have surgery. She's not going to be home for a while. Pray for her as well. Brother Preston had surgery on Friday. It was successful, but let's pray for Brother Preston. God would work in his life. He'd be able to get back with us. We miss these folks when they're not here. Let's pray for Samantha Danford. Samantha had some back surgery, got over that, was back in church, and now we got the knee issue. My understanding is complications from the knee issue are having an effect on the back, so let's pray for her. And pray for their grandson. God's working on that young man, and it was such a blessing to me to see him working in the church. We don't want him to stay out too long. Let's pray for them. Let's also pray for Miss Denise Allen. Denise has been in the hospital, but praise God, you're with us this morning. We're thankful for that. Amen. And in a little bit, before we close, we're going to have a special prayer for Miss Denise. She's got some test results coming up. We want God's hand. Now, folks, here's something I want you to understand. We pray because we believe that God hears us. Yes. We believe that God cares about us. We believe God has the power. And we believe that he does answer prayers. Now, sometimes God answers them the way that we want him to. But sometimes he says, it's just like that song, I'll make it on home. That's, you know, that's a great song to have played. I'm going to heaven one day. And when I do, I know that if I were to leave today, yeah, there's going to be some grieving. Your family never wants you to leave. But I'm going home. And I've got a lot of loved ones. I was reading the names on the board this morning of mine and your loved ones that have gone to be with Jesus. Let's also remember Miss D. Miss D. Adamson, always working in the church. She's always working with Miss Heather. That's why Heather came up seeking some help this morning. Miss D's also had surgery. So we got a list of folks this morning. Now, God knows about it, but let's don't forget. Doesn't the Bible teach us to bear one another's burdens? Sometimes it's a call. Sometimes it's a text. A kind word to let them know that you love them. You think about them. Amen. If you got your Bible, flip over to Psalms chapter number 32. It's a short chapter. I'm going to read the entire chapter. Then I'm going to try my best to share with you what God has laid on my heart. I have had a busy week. I've had a rough week. And I sat down this week and started praying. I did try to seek God's will about what he wants us to preach on. And before you know it, I had about 6 or 7 thoughts. And that becomes difficult when you got 5 messages and you say, Lord, show me which one you want. And I want what God wants. Amen. Because God knows more than I know. And he knows what's going on in the hearts and the minds of the people. And he knows how to send what we need. And that's what our heart's desire and prayer is this morning. Somebody wants me to preach out of David. A psalm of David, not a psalm of David. Hey, it is, by the way. A psalm of David, it's a song. And entitled above the scripture in my Bible, it says, The Blessedness of Forgiveness. Now, we got 11 verses that we're going to read. We're going to concentrate our title out of the 9th verse. But I want to read this morning, and you listen to this, and then I'll give you the title. It said, Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me, and my moisture is turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee, in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble, and thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Now, this is a psalm of David, and you know, we want to go through this psalm, and we want to break this scripture down just a little bit different this morning. But here's really what I want us to really have as a title is, Be Not as the Horse. Now, you know, I said a lot of times, you know, things come out of the Bible. We talked a little bit about this, the phrase to knock on wood and where that came from. And, you know, actually when people say I'm at wit's end, where that came from. Well, there's a psalm in the book of David, the book of Psalms that actually, another psalm of David that actually refers to that about being at wit's end and what that means. And that was actually one of the things that's really been on my heart lately. And maybe God willing, I'll be able to preach on that. But how about this one? Have you ever heard anybody say, you're as stubborn as a mule? Now, I thought when I said that this morning, I'd get husbands and wives doing this. My wife tells me that, and I tell her that. Sometimes we tell our kids that, and sometimes our kids tell us that. You know, if you were to take this scripture that I've read out of the book of Psalm, obviously I'm reading from the King James Version of the Bible, in chapter 32 and verse 9, be not as the horse. You could easily insert right there, don't be as stubborn as a mule. Because this whole chapter is really about the blessing of God and what God wants to do to bless you. Do you know that God cares for you? God loves you. And what God has for you and for your life is really the best thing that you could possibly have. You know, sometimes people, and folks, I know we struggle with the flesh, okay? We're just human beings. And I struggle. I struggle with myself. And I struggle with getting myself out of the way. But sometimes people, they talk about, you know, how difficult it is to live a Christian life in that they struggle to be a Christian. Well, let me tell you something. I want to be a Christian. I want to live for God. I want the things of God. I want God's blessing in my home. I want the sign over my door that says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's where I'm at. Now, every now and then, you know, just like a son or a child, and I remember when I was growing up, I always wanted to live in my house. I never thought about, you know, something else. But when I got out of line, my mama or my daddy would get a hold of me, and they would bring me back to the place that I needed to be. And I can remember my mother saying, you're stubborn as a mule. What would happen is I would go astray. Okay, sometimes we go astray, but have we forgotten the blessings of God and what God wants for us, what God wants to do for us? And I want us to go through this scripture and break it down and see what God is doing, what God wants to do for you, and then let's look at ourselves for just a minute, okay? The first two verses here of this scripture, what we find when you read this, it says, blessed is he whose sin, whose transgression is forgiven, and whose sin is covered. It says, blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and whose spirit is no guile. Now, you can go over the New Testament, you find that quoted in another place, but here's what you find in these first two verses. Why wouldn't anybody want this? What you find is a pardon. You find forgiveness for sins. You find a covering for sin. Okay, and here's what the Lord's blessing, and here's what the blood of Christ covers. The blood of Christ will cover anything that you bring. Amen. Now, I'm thankful for that. You know, and when I begin to look at it and think about it, and here's what I want us to understand as Christians. As Christians, every one of us at one time was lost. Amen. You know, some of us got saved at an early age. Some of us didn't. Some people in this house, they might not have been saved that long. Some people, you might say, well, if I laid everything that I had on the altar to be covered, it'd be like when we bring the Christmas boxes. You wouldn't be able to see the choir. Well, let me tell you something. It don't matter what you bring. It don't matter how much you bring. It don't matter what's on your tab. If you bring it to God, the blood of Christ will cover it. Now, folks, I want to tell you, that's something to get excited about. And here's something else when we understand about this pardon. It's when God pardons and when God forgives, there is no account kept of your sin. You know, I like that part where it talks about it, as far as the east is from the west, that's never ending. He said he puts it behind his back. In another place, it is cast into the depths of the sea. Now, what it means is God takes it and he chooses not to remember. Complete pardon. Now, folks, I like forgiveness. I like mercy. And before we moved on, let's stop here for just a minute. Let's just get a hold of something right now. Never, ever compare your sin to somebody else's sin. Because what you're going to do is you're going to say, well, I'm not that bad because I'm not like that one over there. I'm not like that one over there. Here's what I want you to understand. Without the blood of Jesus Christ being applied to your heart and your life, you'd never, ever be able to enter the gates of heaven. People say, well, I'm not like them or I didn't do that. You got a problem or you wouldn't even be talking that way. I need Jesus. Okay, oh, this is good scripture right here. It's a blessing of God that he wants to forgive you for everything you've ever done. Isn't that something to be thankful for? Now look at verse number 3 and verse number 4. He says, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me, and my moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Now, what I want you to see right here is I want you to see a picture of somebody that's under so much conviction that it doesn't matter what they do, they cannot find relief. Now, sometimes people like that, sometimes they don't. I remember one time I was up at a church up in Dallas, Georgia, and there's a man got up, and he told the story of how his son had gone astray. You know what it's like, folks, when you try to teach them about God, and they don't want to hear what you have to say? It's when you offer them the love of Christ, and they say, no, I don't want it. I'm going my own way. The man told the story of his son, and he said, son, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm just going to put the Lord on you. Now, here's one thing this young man understood enough about his dad and his dad's relationship with God. He said, oh, please don't do that. Now, he might not have wanted what daddy had, but he knew what daddy had was real. And I'm going to have to stop right here for just a minute. Let me tell you what we need in churches today. We need real conviction for people to have a real walk with God. And they don't get in the pulpit and say, God accepts everything. I'm okay. You're okay. Let's just go all have a good time because God's into us having a good time. God wants you to get convicted and get right with him. And that's exactly what these two verses are about, because when the conviction of God gets on you, you won't be able to just live anyway and it'll be all right. This scripture said this man cried till he couldn't even cry anymore. That's what it talks about when it says, my moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Now, here's what I want us to understand, and you can find it if you study the life of Paul. You can find it if you study about Pharaoh. Or you can find it if you study about anybody that fights against God. Doesn't the scripture say, fight not against the Lord, for you shall not prosper? When you're fighting against God, your resistance is futile. What he says right here, he says, the hand of God was heavy upon me. He said, my tears have dried up through my resistance. And I want to tell you what we need in America today. And it's not just in America today. It's in the church house today. It's we need more conviction of sin. You know, one thing that I believe today is when people are lost and they come into the house of God, if they look around and they see the people in the church ain't living no different than the people in the world, what difference does it make if they come or not? What difference does it make if we don't have something that separates us from the world? The Bible says, come out from among the world and be ye a separated people, zealous of good works. America needs conviction. Conviction is needed in my life. You say, well, I don't want any preacher to get up and just, you know, cause me to feel bad. Let me tell you something. If I need it, I do. You know, have you ever heard anybody say, oh, preacher, you got on my toes this morning. You know what God wants is he wants to get on your heart so your heart will turn and you will turn to God and be able to be thankful and allow God to work in your heart and in your life. What happens when people do not feel conviction for doing wrong? All you got to do is look around and say, what's going on in the world today? You know, it troubles me. I heard a story recently, and it happened not far from here, that it was a road rage incident. And it wasn't just that somebody was angry at somebody else, but they chased them down, shooting at them. The man pulled into a driveway of someone he didn't know, run up to the house, knocking on the door while the guy took aim and shot him and killed him and drove off. Let me tell you something. We're in a problem today because the heart of man is evil and it's wicked. And without conviction, it gets so far away from God that you don't even know what you'd be capable of. I want God to convict me. Have you ever thought you were right and then God convicts you? I remember one time my dad preached on presumptuous sin. You know, there's been a few times you think, well, I had a right to get mad. I had a right to say what I said. I had a right to do this or do that. Really? You know, sometimes when we realize there may be things going on that we don't know about, I want the Lord to help me. My mother, I love my mother. She had a sign in the kitchen hanging in there. It said, oh Lord, fill my mouth with worthwhile stuff and nudge me when I've said enough. All I'm going to tell you is my mother was aware of herself. How about you? How about me? You know, I got a temper, but I pray it never comes out. I've said things I shouldn't say, and it hurts me when I do, and I pray that it don't come out. But how in the world am I ever going to be what I'm supposed to be if the conviction of God is absent from my life? I want God to convict me. Look at verse number 5 and verse number 6. Here what you find is confession. Let me tell you something. So important in a relationship with God. He said, I acknowledge my sin unto thee. In mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. And thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Confession. He said, I acknowledge my sin. And can I tell you something that I believe is so, so important? Is you must accept responsibility for your own actions. I had somebody say something to me recently, and everyone that has someone that you love, you'll understand the impact of what I'm about to say. They said, a parent can never change the responsibility of their children, of their loved ones' sins. They must accept responsibility for their own. But how many times have I done something and, you know, I've got to accept responsibility for it, but as a Christian or as a pastor or as a parent, what you really want to do oftentimes is intervene and you can't change. Oh, it hurts. That's why when you're doing something or you're away from God, it doesn't just affect you. It affects everybody around you. And if you're a part of Hiram First Baptist Church, when you do something that's not right in the sight of God, you say, well, it's nobody's business. Let me tell you, it's everybody in this building's business. It's the pastor's business. It's everybody's business. Because you have a name of a Christian, and what you're doing affects other people, because other people are praying for you and they're hurting for you and they're feeling it. You see, confession is actually made to God. What did David say in Psalms 51? He said, against thee and thee only have I sinned. Okay, and we understand that. Because the reality of it is, here's what we're going to do. We're going to see something, and we're going to say, going back to what I said earlier, well, I'm not like them, and we compare our sin one to another. But doesn't the Bible teach us in the book of James, if you're guilty of one, you're guilty of them all? We got to be careful about that. But if I'm going to really come to the place that I'm where I need to be with God, I'm going to have to make confession to God. You know what that means, church? The altar's here to be used. Amen. It's not just here for people to be saved. It's here for you to come and say, God, help me know when to shut my mouth. God, help me know when to open my mouth. Yes. If you put me in a place that I'm supposed to be witnessing, and maybe I didn't. God, help me know how I'm supposed to be like you. I can't be like God without His help. I can't. That's why we should pray and confess. And here's what's important. While God can be found. You know, because there's one thing about this time to have conviction and time to have confession. And time, which is the next discomfort, is, folks, I want you to understand something. Time runs out. I remember having a conversation with my brother several times. And the most recent time I talked to him, I said, one day, time is going to run out. And that's the first thing I thought of, Brother Tom, when I got the call, was time ran out. You see, what God wants to do, this great God that loves us and that cares for us, He wants to have a relationship with us. And here's what a relationship with is. It's not just God pouring out heaven on you, but it's you reciprocating by coming to the altar, to God's presence, and rejoicing in the forgiveness that He gives. Why is that important? Let's look at verse 7 and 8. Because we also find comfort. Says, thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble, and thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go, and I will guide thee with mine eye. You see, what I find in my relationship with God, and it's personal. Doesn't the Bible say, for every person to work out your own salvation? Don't stop there. The rest part of the verse, it says, with fear and trembling. You see, I find a hiding place. I find a relationship with God. And in that, I find a place of safety. I find a place of rest. I find that grace that is sufficient for every need, that loves me in spite of everything that I've ever done. And He already knows it, and He cares for me. He helps me with unconditional love. You see, unconditional love is not accepting sin. It is helping people be removed from sin. We're living in a world today where they say, well, you know, God is love and God loves everybody. Yes, He does. That's why He tells them the truth. Because God knows that if you stay on your own path and you go your own way, you're going to end up dead. And you're going to stand before God without excuse. And if you love somebody, you don't love them to death by letting them live a life that's away from God and never telling them the way and the path back to where God can help them. You see, because when you come into His presence, here's what God does. He wraps His arms around you and He comforts you. Now, folks, we could go through the Word of God and you could look at story after story after story where Jesus went to the worst of the worst. And He comforted them. The story of the Gadarene demoniac that was so bad, that nobody could even enter his presence. Demon possessed. People say, oh, I don't believe that. Let me tell you, there's a lot of them today. I believe that there is a demon for crystal meth. I do. I believe there is a demon for a lot of the drugs that are in America today. And I believe there is a demon associated with a lot of the lifestyles that people are living today. Because it's in a direct contradiction to the Word of God. And you cannot be there and say you're right with God. You can't. But you can't overcome it by yourself. But if you'll never overcome it if you don't surrender to God. Here's what's great about it. You come to him. I've had people tell me, you don't know where I've been. God knows where you've been. Amen. I don't have to know where you've been. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord are in every place. Yeah. And when he went to the cross, this is why this scripture means so much. When Jesus went to the cross, he had you on his mind. That's significant. Now let's look at our text verse number 9. It says, be not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in the bit and in the bridle. Now, we just went through all these things and David's rejoicing in the Lord. He's talking about his relationship with God. And you know, if you understand the life of David and the things that he did, the times that, you know, the Bible says that David was, he was a man after God's own heart. And in one place it was referring to Solomon, it said, Solomon walked not before the Lord with a perfect heart, as did David his father. How can this be? How can it be that David had that kind of relationship with God, but yet we find him disobeying God in more than one instance and God having to reel him back in? I want to tell you something. David knew who God was. He never followed a false God, but David was just like you and me. He struggled with this flesh. And you get to the point, can you imagine a psalm of David when he's writing this and he comes right down through his walk with God and he's talking about the conviction of God and confessing to God and the comfort of God, and all of a sudden he stops a minute. And he says, don't be like the horse, which has to have a bit in its mouth to get it to turn. In other words, don't be stubborn as a mule. Don't you realize what God has done for you? What causes people to resist the things of God over and over again and continually go down the wrong path? Is he stopping right in the middle of these blessings? Don't be stubborn as a mule. A pardon has been offered. Why would you not surrender? Why would you not confess? Why would you not, in your misery, be comforted? Because you're stubborn. Have you ever seen anybody stubborn? And you try to help them, you try to tell them. You know, if you go into your Bible in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23, there's a verse. It's referring to King Saul. And you look at the life of Saul and you see how God blessed him. He was a head above every man. The Holy Spirit was on him. God anointed him to be king. But Saul got lifted up in himself. He was stubborn. And you find it time and time again in the life of Saul. And here's what Samuel finally said to him because of his stubbornness. He said, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of God, he hath also rejected thee from being king. You see, King Saul was like the horse. God told him something specific to do. He said, when you go over there to the people of Ai, and these were the people that attacked the children of Israel when they were coming out of Egypt and would actually hit them from the rear and kill the children and kill the weak and kill the elderly. He said, I don't want you to show any mercy to them. You say, well, God's not like that. You need to read your Bible.
God is not to be played with and mocked. I want to tell you something. The Bible also says that our God is a consuming fire. And one day he's going to come back and he's not going to be found in a manger. He's going to have eyes as a flame of fire. And out of his mouth, when he speaks, it's going to come like the sound of roaring waters. Because he is King of kings and Lord of lords. And he has no equal. And every knee is going to bow to him. And what you find when you study the king that God blessed and set up to be king over Israel. Time and time again, he rebelled against God. He rebelled against God when he went in and he offered the sacrifice because Samuel didn't come fast enough. You ever had a time in your life that you know you're supposed to be waiting on God? Continue to wait. Don't get ahead of God. When God tells you to do something, don't go and do it your own way. God's way's the right way. It'll work out God's way if you wait on God. But old Saul, he was stubborn as a mule. And it cost him. You see, a stubborn person will not listen to the voice of reason. They won't listen to the instruction given to them. It's like this. Have you ever looked at anybody and said, you know, I've been there. I've been there. You ever said this? That will hurt you. You know, my children are grown up. Even my grandchildren are growing. You know, they're getting to the point. But how many of you have the little thing on your cabinet when you pull it, it opens about that far and you got to lick, you know? Even the stove, I can remember a few people saying, oh, they won't touch it but one time. Once it burns their fingerprints off. But you know what a mom and daddy don't want? They don't want their hand burned. You know why you say things like, I've been there, that will hurt you? And you say even something like this, I don't want you to suffer like I did. Why? Because you love them. You know why we went through 8 verses to get to the 9th verse? It's because God loves you enough that he went to Calvary and he hung on a cross for your sins so that you wouldn't have to suffer, so that you wouldn't have to feel the scars. He's got them in his hands so you won't have to have them. Have you ever looked at anybody and said, I don't want you to suffer like I did? And then you start to reveal your scars. And I tell you that everybody in the house today, every person has got scars. Some on the outside, some on the inside, but you got scars. Sometimes even the pain of those scars, and here's what the old devil does. He finds something. I got a scar right here on my finger. I'm about to cut the end of my finger off a few weeks ago. I walked around at work like this for a month. People said, what you doing? I said, I'm keeping my finger from throbbing. Because if it got below my heart, I felt it, just like that. We were over there working at Brother Ted's. We were unloading one of those metal carports. Miss D and Ted came out, and they said, you need to wear these leather gloves. They tried to tell me. I said, I don't need no gloves. And I went to slinging that stuff, and by that time I picked something up, and it opened me up. I had to hold it together. And here I am trying to help my friends, and I didn't even want them to know I was hurting. And I was hurting so bad, I was... It wasn't their fault. They offered me these leather gloves, and let me tell you, you needed them. I can show you that scar. Now, when we went down there to put up a shooting house a couple of weeks ago, it was me and Ted and Luke. I said, all right, before we get started, everybody's putting on gloves. Now, that's a life example you can relate to. But what about the things we experience in our lives? What about the pains and the suffering that we've been through, the mistakes that we've made, the things that we're ashamed of that we sit here in the house of God and the devil wants to keep poking that scar? And I'll tell you, that's the most tender part on my left hand right there. The devil knows it. Well, let's go back and remember the blessings. Old David, he might have been rubbing a scar, and he said, don't be stubborn. Look at all these blessings that God has for us. Proverbs 26:16 says this. The sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. See, people think they can fight against God and win. No, you won't. 2 Chronicles 13:12 says, O children of Israel, fight not against the Lord God of your fathers, for ye shall not prosper. You see, unfortunately, there comes a time when the stubborn will have to be dealt with. You see, God loves the stubborn. He loves everybody, everyone. God loves everyone. He's merciful. He's long-suffering. But can I tell you, there comes a time, especially in the life of a person that is a Christian that continues to turn and walk away from God, when God will look and he will say, that's enough. And that's sad. Because opportunities are missed. Opportunities for conviction, for confession. Opportunities for comfort. Opportunities for service. You see, God's been so good to me. I don't know why. I don't know why God would love me enough to allow me to be saved. I don't know why God would love me enough to allow me to be here with you worshiping this morning, the Lord. I don't know why he would love me enough to allow me to feel his spirit and his comfort and his love. But he does. And sometimes he has to speak to me. You know, sometimes the Bible talks about men seeing visions and dreaming dreams. You ever had a dream where God spoke to you? I had a dream this past week, and I woke up and I said, oh God, God spoke to me. I said, I want to be better. I want to speak better. I want to think better. I want to respond better. Sometimes it takes a conscious effort. I've been married to my wife 35 years. June the 25th. I got to get that right. But can I tell you, I want to be better. I got a daughter that's 32, a son that's 23, one that's about to be 18. And Luke reminded me on the way down here today, he said, I'm about to be a man. And I asked him a question. I'm going to say this. We're going to get a song. I want you to think about this. I said, Luke, what do you need me to do as a dad to show you what you need to be shown as a young man? You ever think about that? What do you need from me? What kind of respect? What do you want? He's good. He's a very good young man. What about the church? Y'all know that I come down the road this morning and I have five messages on my heart. I said, God, this ain't my church. These ain't my people. This is your house. Show me, God, what you want for them, because these are your people and I know you love them. And I know you want what's best for them. He says, I want them to have conviction. I want them to come and receive the things that I have for them. And I don't want them to be stubborn. Why would you be stubborn and rebel against God when God, just like he said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto you, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a mother hen doth her brood under her wings, but you would not. God's calling somebody to him. Don't turn him away this morning. Ask him to come with a song if God spoke to your heart in any way. I can't describe to you how much God loves you, but I know that he does. In order for you to feel the fullness of that, you got to come to him for yourself. Everybody would please rise to your feet. The altars of Hiram First Baptist Church are open, and all the blessings and promises
of benefits from the Word of God, those we read, some we spoke of, some we didn't, they're available to you if you'll come to Him. This is your opportunity to pray. Would you come?